Hello everyone, Nexa here with Evolving RPG, and I'm joined again with my good friend Greytone.
Hello everyone.
And today we're going to be talking about stories, from short stories to writing styles, all things related stories. The reason we're actually talking about this is that, as you know, on Evolving RPG, we have quite a few short stories on it. And so in our effort to write good quality stories, sometimes we look at what we can do to improve. And yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's a natural evolution that a lot of what we do, especially if you're running your own games or even running a module, it's, we're all going to feel that kind of drive to write down these stories and to, you know, we're reading a lot of fantasy novels, science fiction, whatever your particular interest may be. But I think role-playing games kind of draw that out in you. Okay, I want to tell a story. Even if I'm reading this, I've got to take on the roles of these various characters. I've got to manage different decisions the players are making. And if you're running your own, you're basically sitting down like, okay, what are we going to accomplish? What's the story I want to tell? So I think it kind of flows that naturally we'd want to take this from the tabletop game and write it down, whether it be poems or short stories or, you know, a full-length novel.
And going right on along with that, one of the things that I do in the gaming sessions that I'm in is that I do try to take notes, mainly memory joggers, so that I can actually write the whole story. In most of the games that I'm playing in, I am not the DM, so I don't have access to everyone's thought or insight. So it's usually my stories is related from my character specific perception.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting because you're kind of filling in those decisions and thought processes that the other players have. So, you know, that kind of leads to a creative bend, which is something kind of interesting that I find when I write. It's, you know, the players are bringing the characters into the story. I can craft an outline very well of, okay, these are the points I want to do. The story is going to start here at the end, and it's going to end with the new king being revealed or whatever it may be. So how do I bridge that beginning to that end? And I got different encounters and a path that this wants to follow. Now, inevitably, the characters are going to, or the players are going to throw curveballs, and I'll come up with new ideas to handle how they make different decisions. But I really think that it starts to get those creative juices going, and then you're thinking like, hey, you know, there's a story I want to tell here. There's more to this. And I find a lot of players, and I think it's really, really cool when players that I'm in a game with go back and write a short story based on an encounter or a gaming session. And they're kind of filling in the motivations, and I'm seeing how my character, the role that I am playing, is being picked up and perceived by other players, you know, how those mannerisms come through. And I'm like, oh, that's how they see that character. That's interesting. And is that the same way that I see the character acting? So,
and I'm guilty as charged for my perception of your characters, or when you're the DM, of the NPCs.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're kind of filling that in, and it's very interesting. Is if I'm running the game, especially to get that feedback back, are the characters that I'm putting out there, are they resonating? Because sometimes, you know, the group will click with a character that really may only be minor to the storyline, but there's something in that interaction that kind of makes that connection. And now, okay, that storyline is going to be more prominent because they really care about whatever happens with this NPC, which maybe I just thought it was something that was going to be a minor point or a tangent to the core mission or core plot. And now this little subplot has come up there, but it adds some flavor to it. And then to hear all of you talk about how these characters are interacting with you, it's just like, hey, you know, that's interesting to see how that comes together. So,
and just kind of a FYI for those of you who are listening, the reason that we're actually on this topic was that I was sharing some of the stories that I'm working on. They're from much older games. And I was telling Greytone here how I really went back to basics on my writing style, because as I'm writing more, If you knew me personally, I've always struggled with writing, but it's something that I love to do. And so it takes practice, practice, practice. So let me go ahead and plug this quick little book. I got this book from Gen Con last year, 2016, and it's called Six Simple Steps, Dojo to Page, Writing Fight Scenes. And it's by the author is Christine Haggerty. And I actually got a chance to meet her. So today I picked up the book. Well, I took the book off of my shelf and I actually read about half of it. It's a really light read. I'm looking at it here. It's about 38 pages. And following the directions that she outlines, I started to write an older story that I had and wanted to kind of actually get a feel for how it would flow. So, of course, I read an excerpt to Graytone, who says that he really likes it. He actually, it sets him in the mood. And so that's your cake to me. That's my cake, that someone actually enjoys it and cares about what's going on. That actually, I want a person to actually feel like they're right there watching it.
Well, I
So
think that's
that.
what you want to do. You want to pull in through wordplay that you're crafting a story. You want to engage the senses of the reader. And I think, Ed, just to echo your point, I think all of us struggle with writing. You know, I'm not a professional writer. You know, my career path has nothing to do with writing, professionally or otherwise. But it's something that I'm also passionate about, and especially in the last couple of years, really have said, you know, I need to do this. There's stories in my head. I need to get these out. And I think you just have to do it. You just engage it. And I think, you know, there's that inner critic that's going to jump out and say, no, that's not really, this isn't good. This is bad writing. And, you know, I just find it exactly just, you got to practice, practice, practice. And the first draft's always going to be that first draft. It's going to need to be edited, but you know what? Write it. You know, there's some great writing groups that I'm members of online, and there's a lot of great support and a lot of wisdom there, and everyone's kind of in the same boat. But I think what you're
I was just gonna say there's a lot. And as far as going about writing, right, I'm starting to take the philosophy is that you write it one time just to get your ideas on the paper, and then after that, it's fleshing out those ideas, making each word, each sentence, each paragraph really flow well. Because you really want to get your ideas down, but then you know, the next draft, you want to make it better and better and better. And so
Yeah.
I just feel like these are great times right now because we have so many stories that we can draw up on as we have a Pathfinder game going on. And that's some really good material.
Well, I think with some people, you know, a common nice thing I see is like, you know, how to overcome writer's block. And what I found for me personally in running games and just having to go through that process that, okay, I've got one where I'm running a Curse of Strahd game, the D&D 5th edition, where it's Curse of Strahd. So that's already lined up. The character's already made, the world's already made. I'm just kind of getting players from point A to point B and fleshing out NPCs and bringing the spirit and kind of running things for it. It's not my original creation. Love the campaign, love the original Ravenloft back in the day. You know, I've met Margaret Weis, Tracy Hickman, read a lot of their books. You know, one of my prized possessions is several autograph books by some of my favorite authors, and it's kind of a something I really enjoy. And I find that when I run games, that gets the roadblocks out of the way, that starts those creative juices flowing and these adventures. And I agree exactly with you, next to that, you know what, you're doing this, and you know, these roadblocks break down, the writer's block starts to be deteriorated because so much input's coming in. I'm getting so many ideas, and this is starting ideas inside my head. And oh, that was an interesting fight we had. This would be a cool variation of that for a story, or you know, something that your character does. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I want to tell more about this character that I have. How do I get this story out to somebody? It really gets things moving. So it's just, if you're stuck, you know, I don't know how many authors maybe run games on their own, but I think it's definitely something where you could get a group of friends together and start running a game. And, you know, if you're stuck, this is going to, you know, it's going to get things moving again. And then it's because the stories I write sometimes parallel some of the games that I do, but a lot of times it's just helping me get creative and find some inspiration to write something else that's unrelated. You know, the main writing project that I'm working on right now has nothing to do with any game that I'm running. One of the campaigns is an original campaign that I'm basically drafting as I go along with it. I have an idea of where the story is going to go, but it's just interacting with my friends and sitting down at the table once every other week and playing this game, running through it. It's just, it's opening up ideas. And so the floodgates are now spewing out these ideas. And I'm like, okay, and you're absolutely right, Ed. You write it down and don't go back and re-edit your work. Get those ideas out. Get them on the page while you've got them fresh, you know, so that that can be captured and you know, you can weave it. And then as you work on your second revision, yeah, then you can go in and tweak and adjust and make the modifications. But definitely encourage getting it out there just as this, inspiration strikes you, get it on paper.
And I actually want to take this opportunity to say that Buck is actually, he's someone who's really passionate about writing, and he really tries to, I believe he's writing various things. He'll tell you right off the bat, he's not professional, but like I said, I've known him for decades. Actually, I've known him and Greytone for decades and decades. But Buck always had a passion for writing and could really give you some visual scenes. And one of the things that he said was that he actually likes taking ideas that he's thinking about writing and incorporate them into a game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To see how that will mesh, whether it's a good idea. So that's how he fleshes out some of his ideas. And by the way, you can always listen to the podcast of Buck. Just going to plug that in there. But I think with anything that you do, if you really like it or have a passion for it, you're constantly striving for perfection. Now, once again, this is getting to know me, Nexa. If you know anything about me, you probably would know that I'm actually what some people would say a computer genius. I love developing. I love programming, making applications. It's something I can do in my sleep. I really like it, but it's something that I always am constantly striving to perfect. And I feel like writing these short stories is something that I'm moving in that direction, where I reread some of the older stuff and like, it's not as good as I would like it, but at the time for the level I was at, it's pretty good, but how can I make it better? And I feel like that's fine, because I'm gonna name Greytone's favorite author, Salvatore. I'm sure if you read Salvatore's first book, and then when he got more established, read maybe his fifth or sixth book, there's probably some better things that he did. He probably was filling himself out, and I'll let you take it away with that, Gray.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Salvatore, it's someone I've got a whole collection of his books autographed, and he's an author I've seen many times at Gen Con, and he's very approachable. And it's just asking him, you know, what do you do? He says, just write it. He says, just write the story, go for it, you know. And you know, he's very humble about his ability, but you know, it's I follow some of his postings online and through other various media where he talks about writing, and absolutely it's a growth process, you know. Another book I read many years ago was the annotated Dragonlance Chronicles. I never actually read the Dragonlance Chronicles until several years ago, which I was kicking myself. I'm like, how could I not read these two books that Martin Roy Tracy Hickman wrote? This is phenomenal. So, you know, instead of buying three separate ones, I bought a hardback annotated one. And it was great because it had their notes. So it was like sitting down with Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman and reading this book along with them and be able to discuss it with them. And they put their input in. And even there, two authors that have had wildly successful careers, they even point out points in their stories where they're like, yes, the actions that this character is about to make absolutely no sense. And we would never do it that way now, but at the time we needed a plot device. So we had to have them act this way. And it was really something to read that and to see these two very well-established authors say, "Yeah, we just kind of did that." Salvatore, same way. You know, it's just it's a process that they went through as they kind of honed that craft over, you know, many, many years, many, many books, building up characters. And you know, it's I a couple of years back, Tracy Hickman wrote a book called Wayne of Gotham. And I happened across this book completely just looking for something to read and thought, hey, Batman book, Tracy Hickman, like it, I'm gonna read it. Really enjoyed the book. He took a different take on Batman's origin story. And you know, it was great. I met him at Gen Con and happened to talk to him, and I said, you know, I saw this book. I saw him next to it and said, you know, I love this book, you know, it was really good. And he's like, I was really nervous because they approached me about writing this story, and they said, "Well, we want to write a superhero book. Choose one." And he said, "You know, I wrote this," and he's like, "Then I sent this book out to the publisher, and it's like I really hoped fans weren't going to hate me because I didn't want to be the one that ruined Batman." And he was really nervous about it, you know. And here he is, a very well-established author, and he was nervous about getting his book out. He was very open about that interview, and it was a great time to sit down and talk to him at Gen Con. And it's like, wow, that really kind of caught me. And I'm like, well, I really enjoyed the book. I enjoyed this story. And he's like, well, I'm glad to hear that. Glad you enjoyed it, you know. But it was a unique take on his own storyline. You know, and I've seen that with authors because they get well known for a particular set of characters and then they kind of branch out and do their own thing. And it's even there, you know, it's just, there's a Salvatore wrote a series of books for the Highwaymen, a character that he created.
I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. So it just, different than Drizzt Do'Urden and all the other characters and the companions that he wrote, this was something he kind of created and put out there. And when I was talking to him about that, again, I love Gen Con because you can see a lot of authors and these people really approachable. And it's just, you know, it's a great environment to talk to them, and it really gets you going. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's just because they're really supportive. They want other people to write and they want to really share this with them. And he was just like, well, I'm glad you enjoyed this book. I'm glad to hear it, you know. And it's just, I could kind of see something in his look that, hey, it's something he created that he wrote. You know, because I'm sure he loves all the other characters that he writes, but here was something he put out there on himself. And it's, you know, he's got tens of thousands of fans, I'm sure, maybe more worldwide. But here it is. He put something out there, and it's like, okay, how did the public like that? Did this go over well? You know, did they like the stories I'm telling? So it's, you know, I think we all kind of share that little trepidation to put it out there because it's something where you just kind of like it's like a part of yourself that you're putting out, and it's important that, you know, hey, you know, to kind of separate from that.
Right, and I just want to say I too also like seeing Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman at Gen Con. They've been a staple for Gen Con for many, 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 many years. And a funny story about them is that I remember I received a book from them, and it was the Deathgate Saga, I believe was the name of the book. And when I got that book, it was 3 or 4 years later that I actually read it, and I thought to myself that this is a pretty good book. I just need to read the rest of the books, and that's how I found out about Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman. And I bought all of the books, brought them to Gen Con, and had them autograph it, and they actually thanked me because they said that brought back so many memories. So I felt like they were so approachable. And you may want to do, and this is to the listeners, you may want to do a search on Margaret Weis. But I remember before the internet became as big as it is now, she actually had an original post about a forum post about a D&D session. She was making how the storytelling can bring out a good story and how you can actually gather good ideas from it. And I just remember reading it and I thought, they're really down to earth people.
Oh yeah, I think that's one thing I can really share because it's just the this most recent one I met was just a couple months ago. Timothy Zahn was doing signings at a local comic book convention and really approachable. I thought, wow, here's this small venue. He's a very well-known author. He just released a book, Thrawn, that I'm diving into right now. I was very excited to see that. And very approachable. I mean, that's the thing. And I think that's something unique with the all the authors that I've met. It's just, they are very much people that are open about their experiences. They give very good advice. There was the author we met last year, Maxwell Alexander Drake, and he took a lot of time with the group, because I remember Brian had a lot of questions for him regarding some things that he was doing, and it just took a lot of time to really sit down and talk to us, you know, for a while on the floor at Gen Con about writing the style, what you need to do, the discipline you need to have, which is really something. And it's just, he's like, hey, I want to help you. I want to see you get your story published, and you know, here's what you're realistically going to need to do. And that was really an interesting experience. They were very much approachable, and that's something I've seen very much across the board with a lot of the authors that we've met over the years. And next thing, you've been there with me with most of those. They're very open people, and you ask them like, hey, how do I get started in this? How do I do this? And they'll give you some good advice, and they want you to succeed. It's not, oh well, you know, that's my competition. No, they're very open. It's just, get that story out there. They like to see you do it. So,
and I have to bring in Buck again, because since he's been going to Gen Con the past couple of years on a regular basis, he's really wanted to go into Gen Con. Has what's called Arthur Row. It's called
Arthur's Row, and they also have the Writer Symposium that's been there for many years.
Yeah, Arthur Symposium. So yeah, he really wants to go to those. So I've been going with him from time to time and listening in. And this is what we were talking about earlier, Gray, is that there's such a wide spectrum. There's really no surefire way that, you know, this is it. This is the way to get your best book or your best style published. What one author thinks is important, another one may discount it. So ultimately, I think you probably, or my advice is, like how Gray Tom says, that you really just want to practice. Write that story down and then continue to flesh it out. And it doesn't matter if you're not going to have a great masterpiece on your first try. It's okay. It's okay. Are you having fun doing it?
Yeah, I think that's really the key thing. You really hit it there, next. Do you enjoy it? You know, yeah, the art of writing, sometimes it's painstaking. It's just like, oh my God, this is horrible. This paragraph I wrote is absolutely the worst thing that has ever been put down on a piece of paper. I feel that a lot. And I think a lot of people, that, especially as we're starting out doing that, I think they feel it. And it's just do it. You know what? It just write the story. You know, and it's just, I think we're all there. We're all a little, because I know when I run games, if there's a new player that comes in that I haven't gotten a chance to know beforehand, I get a little subconscious about, you know, the game. It's like, oh man, are they going to like what I'm going to do? You know, it just, it's like last year at Gen Con was the first time in many years I'd run a game. You know, I'd gotten away from it, gotten busy, work, family, things like that going on, and just hadn't run anything. And at Gen Con, and even though these were friends I had, some of them I don't see as often as I'd like because of distances and whatnot, it was a little scary to do that. And in writing, that's that same thing. But you just kind of, you kind of get up there. It's like, you know, public speaking. You know, once you get started going, you know, you're off and running. You know, my cousin was very involved in education reform. She did a keynote. She was very nervous. Now, she's got a doctoral degree. You know, she's a PhD. And she said, I was really nervous before I started. But then just like that, you start talking, you get into it. It's going to start flowing normally, I think, at least. And that's what I find. You just jump into it and just write it. Now, I haven't had anything published yet. I hope to someday, but just, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, at least in the fact that, you know, I haven't had anything published, but this, the pains that maybe you that are listening, you know, if these are doubts that you have, hey, right there with you. You know, maybe you're having the same doubts that I am, and just at least want to share that experience so that you know, you know, we're all in the same boat. We all want to get through this. And you know what? We just got to work through the process. And like Nexa said, just practice, just write it, and have fun doing it. If you have fun doing it, you know, whatever happens to it, you know what? That will be what it'll be, but you've done it. So I think that's really the goal I've set in mind, to finish the book. tell the story. And then, hey, you know, will it ever get published? Maybe I'll end up self-publishing it. I don't know. I'm working on it still. It's not at that point, but someday I hope to get it there. So someday soon. So
I agree. And I have many stories to tell.
Yeah.
Many stories to tell. Which is why I like doing the short stories on Evolving RPG. I view it as a chance to practice.
Well, yeah, and I think a small goal, because if you say, oh, I'm going to write a novel, that is a big goal, and it's a good goal to have. But I think, and I know I've written some short stories based on just the characters we've played in games, and that's just a good thing to set a small, you know, like little chapters, and not even necessarily a chapter, but just a section of a story where I'm kind of compressing things in and just a little blip with a couple of things, a dialogue, some action sequences, things like that, just to relate an encounter that we had in a game. And I find that that's a good goal to set because it's fairly attainable in a short period of time. You can start it, finish it, and get it out, and then, you know, post it. So I think, you know, when you say, I'm going to write a novel, okay, that's a long-term process to do. You're not going to do it overnight. You know, that's going to take time. It's going to take months, maybe even years. You know, even experienced writers, you know, it's going to take a long time to do that. So set a smaller goal, and that's what I kind of find. And, you know, it's funny. I was telling one friend of mine, I'm writing a story, like, oh, well, you know, you should publish that. I'm like, I can't. I'm taking characters I got from role-playing games, and I'm going to drop in Batman and Superman just because, you know what? I want to do this. I want to get these characters all together, working together, you know, and just put them all together in this thing and just kind of match them up and see what happens with the story. Because it's just, I think it's going to be cool. You know, completely unplausible, you know, and it's a freeform thing. I'll never be able to publish it because obviously there's some big rights issues involved with, you know, Batman and Superman, but just like a fan fiction thing where, you know, it's just these characters all meet and are doing something, you know, hey, you know, it's just, it's an interesting thing. But I'm just doing that because it's attainable. You know, it's a small goal. So, and hey, I'm just writing because I think it might be cool. So it's, you know.
Well, I look forward to reading it. So I guess we tackled that subject pretty well. Do you have any final thoughts there, Grayton?
Well, this is one amateur writer to anyone else that might be listening, for what it's worth. I think we're all in this together. We all want to succeed. And I think a lot of us all have the same kind of challenges, you know, in terms of confidence in the rating of that inner critic. And I just say, hey, run with it, you know, and just that's kind of what I'm doing. You know, like I said, I'm not an author. I don't have an English degree. I don't have any background in this, and I'm struggling. That's like, oh, how is my dialogue going to work? Is this going to sound good? I'm just putting pen to paper and just writing it out. One quick thing, though, I do want to say, and next thing, you might be able to jump into this in style. I did a lot of my writing on computer, and I just noticed sometimes that was challenging for me to sit there and look at that screen and type it out. And so I actually started writing longhand, you know, kind of figuring, okay, the first draft is going to be, and I have a journal that I'm writing in, and this journal is devoted to this one particular story that I'm telling, and I'm just going along, you know, at lunch, at night, you know, like at time I take my journal out, and I'm just writing it out longhand, as opposed to putting the computer. Now, at some point, yeah, I'll go back and get my word counts and all that stuff and figure out what's in there, but I thought, just for me, it seems to get my creativity flowing a little more just by writing it out longhand. So
To just chime in on that, I agree with that too. I feel like when I write with longhand, it's more of a, I want to make sure I get the ideas on paper as quickly as possible. So it's kind of like fresh out of my mind, straight to the paper. However, my little tip of advice is that I don't mind typing it out if I'm taking my time. Or even if it's longhand, but what I find that really helps me is that I go back and read what I wrote out loud. And
oh, that's a good
read
idea.
It as a conversational, as kind of a slow, methodical conversation. And I find that that helps me catch some stylistic errors, maybe certain tense or certain words not going right, Or maybe it detects something's clunky with a paragraph. So I like to read out loud, and then that way, as I hear it, it kind of registers. So that would be a little bit of a advice that I would offer to anyone. But the main thing, I still have to go over it and say, practice, 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 and keep on practicing.
Yeah, I think that's the truth in that.
And if you want, you could submit some of your work to Evolving RPG. We will happily display it.
Yeah, and we've got a great community that's very supportive, because especially when you're starting out there, there are professional writing critics out there. You know what? When we're getting paid to do this, that's great. But right now, no, we just need some help to kind of get together and get that out there. So, but I know from what I've written, I get a lot of good feedback from people, just saying that, hey, Buck's giving me some good feedback on some of my writing, just saying, hey, look
Me
at this
too.
approach this way. So, and he's like, hey, look at it this way, and it's all say, I think I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Thanks a lot for that. We're all encouraging each other, and we're all kind of helping us, helping each other through this, So, hopefully someday you'll see something we wrote on a bookshelf somewhere.
Hopefully. Well, everyone, once again, this is Nexa and Gray Tome, and we appreciate you taking the time to listen to this podcast. And if you have any other ideas or suggestions of any topics you would like to hear, send us a message or go ahead and follow us on Twitter at EvolvingRPG for news about site updates. And once again, thank you. Final thoughts, Gray.
Oh, we'll just keep writing, everybody. Just go for it. So
Take care,
just
everyone.
thanks, everyone. Have a nice, good time.